Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. Let's join together before we dive into reading to, again, just pause and bring our awareness to the only thing that matters, and that's our awareness of Holy Spirit. And even if it doesn't feel like we can be aware of that, we can be willing. That's all we need. That willingness is all we need to allow this part of our very own mind to make itself known to us. Connecting your sense of willingness, however small or however big, and offering that willingness to our inner teacher, to Holy Spirit within. And this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, if we need a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight. Taking a nice, mindful breath in and out. And with your willingness and love, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Oh, all right. So I'm so happy to be joining with all of you, my family, my Course in Miracles family. I'll read the page references for those of us who are tuning in. We are in the Sparkle Edition on page 408, the very last paragraph on that page. The sentence is, "The ego is hyper alert to threat." In the original edition, it is Chapter 17, Part 5, Paragraph number 31, "The ego is hyper alert to threat," is how it begins. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, Chapter 17, Part 4, Paragraph number 5, "The ego is always alert to threat," is how that begins. So we've been reading the section called Perception and the Two Worlds, or the two pictures in the FI section is what it's called. So we're going to be getting into this idea of these two different pictures within the next few paragraphs. The ego is hyper alert to threat, and the part of your mind into which the ego was accepted is very anxious to preserve its reason as it sees it. It does not realize that it is totally insane. And you must realize just what this means if you would be restored to sanity. The insane protect their thought systems, but they do so insanely. And all their defenses are as sane as what they are supposed to protect. The separation has nothing in it, no part, no reason, and no attribute that is not insane. And its protection is part of it, as insane as the whole. The special relationship, which is its chief defense, must, therefore, be insane. So this just makes me laugh because it's so damn clear that every part of this dream of separation, of the ego part, the mind, I'm sorry, how it says, the part of our mind that we accepted the ego into, is completely insane. And the Course says elsewhere, you know, do not underestimate the extent of its insanity. There's no area of your perception that it has not touched. And so the ego, the part of the mind that we've accepted the into, it's a closed thought system. It's a closed loop. There's no way out of it. And it says later, when we continue to read these paragraphs, that we would have been lost in oblivion and forever gotten truth had we not also been given immediately the Holy Spirit in our mind? So we had we not also been given, you know, something outside of that thought system we can turn to show us another way, to show us out of this closed loop? So this paragraph just really, it makes me chuckle that it's just so crystal clear that every part of the ego part of the mind, you know, the separation is insane. And we're learning how to see it with a different set of lenses, a different vision as we turn to Holy Spirit. Because our interpretation alone of anything, if we're just interpreting it ourselves, is always going to be faulty because we can't see the whole from that closed loop. So that's what stood out to me. Does anybody else have anything to share about this first paragraph? Anything that comes up for you?
Well, it's Igor.
Hi,
I would
Igor.
Like to say, yeah, hello. If you recall, last week I was talking about food and eating, and I think it is a projection of our source from God, of love, God's love, but being poisoned, yeah? And that's what I was talking about. That's how insane everything here is.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
it's insane. I'm sorry. I'll share my thoughts
okay.
Just a moment when you're done.
Yeah.
And
all attempts to godlify and to glorify this world are meaningless and doomed because nothing is sane here. Everything mm-hmm. is totally, all I see is a form of vengeance, what Book 22 says. It's this world is made of guilt and hate. And so everything is insane, absolutely ridiculous, because if we would try to understand it, you know, somehow, there is no even point to dive into it. Another section from chapter 19, I guess, is called Laws of Chaos. The laws of the ego are, Jesus calls them the laws of chaos, because there is no meaning, no sanity in them here. And what quote, I recall this quote from chapter 14, section 2, where Jesus says, "You who are steadfastly devoted to misery must first recognize that you are miserable and unhappy." The Holy Spirit cannot teach you without this contrast, for you believe that misery is happiness. So that's the
right.
point. We think we're fine. We think, some troubles, but okay. But no, Jesus asks us to honestly recognize and admit this fact that we are miserable and unhappy, and this world is insane. And some say that, you are a child of this universe. You have a place. You deserve, you deserve a place here. No, Jesus says, in Workbook Lesson 200 and something, he says, "Myself is ruler of the universe. So I have invented this world. So it is my dream. It is my projection. And so the universe is my child and a problem child. Because and it's a problem child because I made it with guilt and hate and in a state of insane, in a bad mood." So,
yeah, but Igor, the Holy Spirit laughs at all of that. The Holy Spirit undoes it all. But if we trust the Holy Spirit, we will see the undoing. I had an experience this week with my landscaper who really went to town on me. She found out I was having some work done by another company, and she was furious when she called me up. And I didn't know what to say to her, but I just kept going to the Holy Spirit with it and finally got off the phone with her. And I thought, you know what? I'm not doing anything with this. I'm not firing her. I'm not doing anything. I'm giving this to the Holy Spirit because I'm not going to attack myself with this. I'm not going to go for the crucifixion with this. It was challenging because I don't like being talked to like that. Within a couple of days, she called me back with such a change of tune. It was just so delightful. I can't even tell you. And that came about because there was no reason for it to be any other way. Because when you give it to the Holy Spirit, He undoes all the consequences.
All the consequences of our wrong decision.
Of our
and
wrong
that's what
decision.
I was, that's what I was
all
saying before.
All the consequences.
About it's our way out of that closed loop system. Like just within that closed loop, within that closed off thought system, there is just insanity. Like Igor, what you were saying about like food, it's insane that we have to even kill plants to live. Like there was some study that my mom told me about that, you know, they could detect on some level, you know, leaves or plants screaming when you pick them and cook them to eat them. Like that's insane. Like it is insane that we have to kill to survive. And so this world is an insane place, but like Paul is saying, we have that way out. Just like what we see is that form of vengeance, God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. So we have the way out. We have literally means that are given us to undo the dream. It's not just the Course. Nook Sanchez said this so succinctly and so beautifully, that the Course isn't just about waking up in the dream. It's waking up from it. It's literally about undoing what never was, what never actually happened, to come to that awareness that reality has remained unchanged despite any crazy dreaming that we've done. So beautiful.
Trust is essential, though. Trusting the Holy Spirit is everything. And I think really we have to experience, just like Igor said, we have to experience that contrast. But
mm-hmm,
it gets
mm-hmm.
to a point where you're tired of the beating,
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You're tired of what you do to yourself with all this insanity.
Right. We start seeing that really, like Igor said, what we thought was happiness is actually misery. And that's beautiful because this is the whole theme of the section that we're reading tonight about these two frames. So actually, how about we read some more on that note? You have but little difficulty now in realizing that the thought system which the special relationship protects is but a system of delusions. You recognize in at least general terms that the ego is insane, yet the special relationship still seems to you somehow to be different. Yet we have looked at it far closer than at many other aspects of the ego's thought system which you have been more willing to let go. While this one remains, you will not let the others go, for this one is not different. Retain this one, and you have retained the whole. I'm going to read more. I feel moved too. It is essential to realize that all defenses do what they would defend. The underlying basis for their effectiveness is that they offer what they defend. What they defend is placed in them for safekeeping, and as they operate, they bring it to you. Every defense operates by giving gifts, and the gift is always a miniature of the thought system the defense protects, set in a golden frame. The frame is very elaborate, all set with jewels, and deeply carved and polished. Its purpose is to be of value in itself, and to divert your attention from what it encloses. But the frame without the picture you cannot have. Defenses operate to make you think you can. I'll pause there. We're going to continue. It's going to talk more about these two different pictures, two different frames. So if you think about this with the ego's defenses, what is any defense of the ego? And defenses, this is where I love how the Course gets kind of Freudian, because with my psychology background, that's just always been kind of fun for me to think about. Defenses, you know, denial, repression, like just all the different things, all the different tactics for not looking at something, you know, for keeping it hidden. Defenses do what they would defend. What are defenses defending but the separation. That's all it ever is. Any defense is there to just defend the separation in whatever, you know, way we might think about it, like, you know, defending ourselves as bodies or whatever you want to think about it. I just, thinking about it broadly as defending the separation is helpful to me. So that defense, by using that defense, how it's saying, what they defend, this is like the third sentence, what they defend is placed in them for safekeeping. So again, what they're defending is separation. And as they operate, they bring separation to you. So as we listen to the insane ego and, you know, all the defenses that it uses, as we listen to that, it brings separation to us. It reinforces the belief that we are separate and that this world is real. And it's now painting a picture for us that the ego is presenting us with a frame that's very elaborate looking, very appealing looking, and it's diverting our attention from what it's actually enclosing. And more detail about that.
Ooh, your voice is breaking up.
But pause there. What's that, Paul?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little there, Corinne.
I'm going to stay on the line, but I'm going to call in on my cell phone to see if that helps.
See, oh, that was better.
Yeah, that just helped.
Yeah. It's intermittent.
That's weird. It's this conference line. I think I'll have to call them. But let me – I just don't want it to keep happening, so I'm just going to call in on a second line. So does anybody have anything – I don't know how much of what I said just came through, but does anybody have anything you want to share?
I would say something like more formish. You said beautifully about the truth, the essence, Corinne, that defenses are tools to keep the separation going, to protect the separation. And it reminds me of workbook lesson 135, I guess. If I defend myself, I am attacked, yeah?
Uh-huh.
If I defend myself, I am attacked. Yeah, 135 lesson. And Jesus explains there that when we defend ourselves, we actually create two attacks simultaneously,
mm-hmm.
because we project, we expect them to attack us, so we project attack on them to us, and then we project our attack back. Yeah. So
sure.
Actually, by defending you know, they always say, like the government say, oh, it's only for the defense, yeah? But actually, it's, and so I would like to say more formish example that first sentence in this paragraph that you read, all defenses do what they would defend. And if you look at the agencies, all kinds of agencies, yeah? They do exactly what they're supposed to protect us from, yeah, from ministries of defense to secret agencies, you know, like CIA, KGB. They're supposed to protect us from terrorists, but what they do is exactly the terrorism.
Right.
And
great example.
There are no terrorists, only secret services. And so, like war on drugs. Oh, war on drugs. Oh, we should create this drug enforcement agency, yeah, DEA. And in Russia, there is also a similar agency. And again, they do exactly. In Russia, for example, when Soviet Union was involved in Afghanistan, in war in Afghanistan. Before that, there were no drugs, almost no drugs in Soviet Union. But after Soviet Union entered Afghanistan, those generals figured out that there are a lot of drugs, a lot of heroin there, and so they built up drug traffic in Soviet Union, and drugs like flooded the drugs
oh,
just flooded the Soviet Union. You see,
wow.
This American new agency, NSA, I guess, that cybersecurity delivers cybersecurity, they do exactly this. They hack everyone. They hack everyone they were supposed to defend. So, yeah, this is the, again, Jesus'
That's a great
words.
Example. Great example. can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'm on my cell phone now. I'm going to stay here. Thank you for that, Igor. That really is bringing a very concrete example to this. That's perfect. Awesome. How about we let's keep reading. We're going to stay with this idea of these frames and pictures. Before I do that, am I clear about the theme, or do I sound more distant than before?
No, you sound okay now.
Okay, all right. Just making sure. It sounds a little different to me, but as long as you can hear me, that's good. All right. The special relationship has the most imposing and deceptive frame of all the defenses the ego uses. Its thought system is offered here, surrounded by a frame so heavy and so elaborate that the picture is almost obliterated by its imposing structure. Into the frame are woven all sorts of fanciful and fragmented illusions of love, set with dreams of sacrifice and self-aggrandizement, and interlaced with gilded threads of self-destruction. The glitter of blood shines like rubies, and the tears are faceted like diamonds, and gleam in the dim light in which the offering is made. I'm going to read the next paragraph as well. Look at the picture. Do not let the frame distract you. This gift is given you for your damnation, and if you take it, you will believe that you are damned. You cannot have the frame without the picture. What you value is the frame, for there you see no conflict. Yet the frame is only the wrapping for the gift of conflict. The frame is not the gift. Be not deceived by the most superficial aspects of this thought system, for these aspects enclose the whole, complete in every aspect. Death lies in this glittering gift. Let not your gaze dwell on the hypnotic gleaming of the frame. Look at the picture and realize that death is offered you. So I know we've talked about sometimes how the Course can sound a little bit, a little gruesome, and this is probably one of those paragraphs where that comes forward. So just to let everybody know, if that came up for you, that we're going to read about the other frame, the other picture, in just another couple paragraphs or so. What this is saying is that, again, the allure of special relationships in all of their forms. So the special relationship we have with perhaps others, with our own body, with whatever it is that it may be, the things really in this world, in this picture that we think are happiness, that we realize now or that we are realizing are actually, you know, not happiness. That's what this frame is, because in separation, which is what this frame is offering, it says the gift, what's hidden is the idea of death, is the idea of death that we've accepted into our minds when we are sort of, you know, hypnotized by staring at this appealing frame, which is this dream of separation. But what comes with this dream of separation is a dream of death, that there is death, that we're limited to bodies. And again, so what we're learning through the Course is that there is another way, that this actually isn't the frame or the picture, that number one is our truth, and number two that we want. So it's not our truth, and we don't want it. We're learning instead what it is that we do want. Comments or questions?
This paragraph, the special relationship has the most imposing and deceptive frame of all the defenses the ego uses. And the thing why it's so deceptive, I think, is because it's still an idol, isn't it? Like this idol,
absolutely.
I have an idol.
Absolutely.
Because idols, really, I recently I started catching myself that I have idols and I don't even recognize it. And mm-hmm. Jesus, by the way, I was also amazed. Like he, throughout the whole text, he comes as close to the topic of idols, but he doesn't even mention this word until the chapter 29. Only in chapter mm-hmm. 29, very towards the very end, he starts even mentioning this word idols and talks about them. And all the way before that, he doesn't even mention this word. He comes close as possible, but it seems like, I guess, for this very reason, because they are so deceptive and we don't even recognize them and we hold them so dear. Mm-hmm. We don't mm-hmm. want to let them go. So that's why Jesus starts from all kinds of other things, and only then in the end of the text he gets to the main problem, because why would we, okay, this world is insanity, insane, it's totally insane, it's a mad world, okay, I get it, but why we are still here, why mm-hmm. we still want to be here, because we still hope to find some idol that can give us the juice, the mm-hmm. substitution for God's love, right, mm-hmm. we still have this hope that some idol will give this juice, this we chase this carrot, one another, third one, and the ego, of course, deprives us of our idols because it knows as soon as we get the carrot, we will recognize that there is no juice. It's an old and bad carrot. And special relationships, I think it's definitely one of the idols, because we think, oh, I should find this beautiful other one, and then I will be happy.
mm-hmm.
And then very soon, after a month or two, who is this? Who is this ugly person?
But what? This again is where the Holy Spirit comes in. This again, because what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Walk around, analyzing all of this, and oh my
right.
God, here comes another. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit will undo it. It will, no matter what we, just so that we realize when we get into these situations, oh, here I go again. I don't have to control this.
Right, right. Yeah, that's where
you
I
know,
love.
When you really start to get that, I don't have to control this. That.
Yeah. And that idea, too, of looking at, like Igor said, the importance, you know, he didn't realize that that you had certain idols. I think you said, Igor, that you were just realizing, you know, that certain things were. And when we have those moments of recognizing, oh, my gosh, like, you know, I do believe that I am a body, or I do believe that, like, I actually can find happiness here. Whatever it is, when we have those moments of realizing what it is that we do believe, those are the moments that we look at it with Holy Spirit. We don't have to worry about fixing it because it's the Holy Spirit's job to fix it for us. It's just our task to not leave anything hidden. So that idea of questioning every belief that we hold, there's a question that it came up, I'm sharing it in a video blog soon, and I don't remember if it's coming out in the one tomorrow or Tuesday or an upcoming one, but it was asking yourself the question, what does this situation or what does my reaction show me about what I believe? So if I'm in conflict with another person or there's something happening, I could just give the whole thing to Holy Spirit, or what has been really working for me lately is asking myself, what does the situation show me that I believe? It shows me, heck yeah, I believe I'm a body. I believe this person is a jerk. Like, I believe I have all these beliefs that, you know, I actually am pumping energy into. And so now I have the choice again to say, Holy Spirit, I'm giving this to you. Like, here are those hidden beliefs. I'm taking them out to the light. And Holy Spirit, like you said, Paula, will fix it. We'll undo all the consequences of our wrong decision.
You know, I brought up this example of my landscaper. At one time, if she had talked to me like that, the chaos that would have unfolded in my life because I'd get rid of her, then I'd have to go out and find another landscaper, and then it would be next and next and the next one and the next one. and on it goes. And the ego just brings chaos upon chaos when you get into that defensive, I didn't defend myself. I didn't do anything.
Right,
because
right.
I knew I didn't have to. And to have her, she left a huge pile of mulch out in front of my house. Because I,
uh-huh.
All right? And it's in the street. Now it's blocking traffic. It's in the street. And I said to her, you have to come and pick that up. And, well, my truck is broken. And, you know, she had a million excuses. And all I said was, well, you're going to have to come and pick it up. And then I got off the phone with her. Do you know, she called me back in a couple. She must have thought about the way she behaved, because she, when she called me back, she said, listen, Paula, I just want to let you know I'm, because she, the mulch sat out there for 2 days, and the temptation to call her and scream, you know, and I'm not doing it. I refuse to do it. I'm giving it to the Holy Spirit. When she called me back, she was so, she didn't apologize, but she explained what I, she said, I want to make sure you realize I'm not just leaving that there. My truck was broken. We got it fixed. We are going to come and get it for you. She, by the end of the day, I was at work. I came home. You would never even know the mulch was there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
awesome.
It was awesome the way this turned out. Honestly,
yes, that's awesome. That's awesome.
All
I, love
I can
how
say
it just,
yeah. is reach for the Holy Spirit, because it really is incredible.
Yeah, yeah. That's beautiful,
what
Paula.
Transpires, it's incredible what transpires. But it takes,
oh,
you know, it takes a lot of trust. Go ahead.
It
I'm
does.
Sorry.
It does. No, that's okay. I heard DG try to keep in there twice. Just want to make sure, DG, that you should be able to share.
Oh, I just really appreciate what Paula said about analyzing everything, because that's another thing that the fear voice likes to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just reminded of the passage in the Course, and I'm probably misquoting it. So, but it's like the purpose of healing or something is to make happy. And so, like, if I'm spending all my time analyzing and trying to figure out what's happening and why and how and all of the details of it, I'm missing out on all of the opportunities that are here in the projection or in the dream, like Nuke talks about, that are available to me to make happy. So there's kind of a giving it to spirit is like, I'm starting to realize as a Course student, because you can use anything to analyze and make yourself feel guilty or bad about, like the things that we enjoy here in this realm, you know, whether it's music or movies or food or artwork or whatever it might be, you know, you can start to question, you know, should I be enjoying this? And then,
right.
Of course you should. The purpose of everything is joy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like with what lens are you looking? Right.
Beautiful. Yeah, Deidre, you reminded me of the quote. The Course says, the ego smiles approvingly at, like, attempts to analyze it. Like, it's like,
yeah.
Sure, analyze me, look at me, you know.
Yeah.
and so it smiles approvingly. So you're absolutely right that we can get really, really caught in that analysis. Definitely.
Yeah. And it reminds me of the quote that you like to use, Corinne, about the fear and the circuitous routes and going down different pathways and looking at it and trying to figure it out. And
Right.
You know,
yeah. I remember a time somebody invited me to a Facebook group that was something, I, you know how people can just add you to groups, like you don't have to join them, they just add you, and somebody had added me to a group that was about like ego analysis, and I thought, oh no, no thank you, not interested, not interested at all. I just want out. I don't want to spend any time on that.
Talk about the crucifixion.
Right? Yeah. No, thank you. Let's keep reading. Okay, next paragraph. All right, so we ended with, look at the picture and realize that death is offered you. That is why the holy instant is so important in the defense of truth. The truth itself needs no defense, but you do need defense against your own acceptance of the gift of death. When you who are truth accept an idea so dangerous to truth, you threaten truth with destruction. And your defense must now be undertaken to keep truth whole. The power of heaven, the love of God, the tears of Christ, and the joy of his eternal spirit are marshaled to defend you from your own attack. For you attack them, being part of them, and they must save you, for they love themselves. So this idea, again, truth doesn't need any defense. Truth just is. But what we're asked to do as core students is deny our denial of truth. So we do need defense in that sense, where we are working to deny our denial of truth. And when it says that, you know, you attack them, meaning God, Christ, Holy Spirit, that just means, you know, we're trying to keep awareness of our capital S self out of our awareness. That's what that, you know, attack is, to keep it away, to want to turn to this dream, to want to separate. And yet what this is saying is that that's impossible. We are part of that whole. God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, Christ, they love themselves, and we love ourselves too. And so God would not leave us to be permanently lost in this. It's impossible.
Just what Deidre was saying earlier, that is why the holy instant is so important in the defense of truth. And the holy instant is just the moment when we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, because when I recognize that I am not happy, I feel sad, I feel angry, I feel desperate, yeah? And so mm-hmm. I recognize that I'm that in this moment I'm listening to the wrong teacher. And so I just ask the Holy Spirit for help, that I'm listening to the wrong teacher and I want to listen to the joyous teacher, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I just want to be happy. I might not know all of the complications, sophistications of this, karma projecting process, but I know one thing for sure, I want to be happy. I don't want to be sad anymore.
Yeah. I'm with you in that. I think we all are. We all want that happiness. And we're on that path. That's why I love these calls. I love this time that we're joining together, because we're strengthening that happiness in our minds for each other as we practice this. Does anybody else have anything to add or ask before we keep reading? Any thoughts or reflections or examples? All right, let's go for it then. The holy instant is a miniature of heaven, sent you from heaven. It is a picture too, set in a frame. Yet if you accept this gift, you will not see the frame at all, because the gift can only be accepted through your willingness to focus all your attention on the picture. The holy instant is a miniature of eternity. It is a picture of timelessness set in a frame of time. If you focus on the picture, you will realize that it was only the frame that made you think it was a picture. Without the frame, the picture is seen as what it represents. For as the whole thought system of the ego lies in its gifts, So the whole of heaven lies in this instant, borrowed from eternity and set in time for you. How beautiful is that? So that's the other picture, the other frame. And it's that picture of timelessness. It's the holy instant. It's that moment when, you know, we suspend all of our judgments, our beliefs, and just have that experience of our true being, our truth of reality. And that is our truth. That is what makes us happy. Nothing can substitute for, and I'm saying this from only having scratched, you know, the surface of experiencing holy instants. The joy, I believe, that we will know is, you know, completely beyond comprehension, completely beyond words.
I don't think it's that. It's funny because when we were reading the previous paragraph and he was talking about the frame, and I'm imagining in my mind the chaos around that situation I was talking about, just going through that frame. And then to read this, if you accept this gift, you will not see the frame at all, because the gift can only be accepted through the willingness to focus all your attention on the picture. And I think I experienced that. I think I experienced that this week. God knows I don't experience it all that often, but I think I experienced it that with that landscaper this week, because I just decided I'm not doing this, and it had nothing to do with her.
Yeah.
It was, I'm not going there.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm not doing it. And the picture was lovely.
Yeah, and that's, so
it's pretty simple, actually.
Yeah, and though, just to clarify, that picture of that situation being lovely is different from the use of this word picture right here, in that this, I think I'm just saying this out loud just for myself, that the external picture that we see isn't how this word picture right here is being used, that our willingness to focus all our attention on the picture in this sentence is talking about this frame of the holy instant, meaning how, and then how I interpret that is that we experience the holy instant by all of our, by focusing all of our attention, all of our willingness on Holy Spirit, that, and through that we experience the miracles. We open ourselves up to experiencing a holy instant. So I'm just talking out loud. That was just a clarification for me.
Yeah.
Right, because sometimes the external picture doesn't change at all.
Right, right. Yeah.
And so it has nothing to do with...
I agree. I love how you said, Paula, it had nothing to do with her. It was all that inner shift within you.
It really is. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that matters, is what you're doing with your thoughts. Who are you thinking with?
Right,
you know?
Right.
But, I mean, God knows I can drift in 2 seconds, but I'm just stressing this because it was a really lovely experience.
Beautiful. And those are those experiences that build our trust. When we have those experiences, it's not because, or what I should say, when we build our trust, you know, maybe we can develop trust from reading something, but our trust really comes through those experiences. It comes through those actual experiences that we go through of the truth of this teaching.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Let's read another paragraph. 2 gifts are offered you. Each is complete and cannot be partially accepted. Each is a picture of all that you can have, seen very differently. You cannot compare their value by comparing a picture to a frame. It must be the pictures only that you compare, or the comparison is wholly without meaning. Remember that it is the picture. Remember that it is the picture that is the gift. And only on this basis are you really free to choose. Look at the pictures, both of them. One is a tiny picture, hard to see at all beneath the heavy shadows of its enormous and disproportionate enclosure. The other is lightly framed and hung in light, lovely to look upon for what it is. So again, these pictures, it's saying look at both of them. One offers death, separation. The other offers truth, eternity, and, you know, the truth of what it is that we are, and that's not a body. So this metaphor of these two pictures, that's what the two frames are enclosing, these two different ideas. And it's interesting, too, how it says you cannot compare their value by comparing a picture to a frame. So going back to this idea of the special relationship represents, you know, all those seeming jewels around that frame that's hiding the fact that it's offering separation and death. The other is framed lightly, and, you know, you can see the picture, and that is truth, that is love. Trying to compare the frame, the glistening, you know, jeweled frame of one to the picture of the other, you can't do. It's saying you have to compare the pictures. So to say, oh, you know, these are lovely, you know, special relationships, but I love, you know, this aspect of the separation, whatever. It's as if we're trying to make that frame with the jewels into the picture of eternity. That's where, you know, we've been trying to have that substitute for God by looking through the ego's lens. So I don't know if I'm explaining this clearly or not, but that was just what came forward for me in that sentence. That you have to look at the pictures. One offers death and separation. The other offers love with a capital L and truth.
And yeah, again, this, Jesus is playing a young boy who is so maximalist and uncompromising, totally uncompromising, right? Because again, I remember when I was in my youth, people were always saying to me, come on, take it easy, man. Just, you know, there are gray colors. There's not anything is black or white, you know. There are gray colors. Take it easy. But Jesus here he's totally uncompromising. He says the only the truth is true, and no illusion is ever close to true. Quite astounding.
It is. It is. I agree with you. It is quite astounding, and it is uncompromising. It is saying that. it's very clear.
And also, I would like to add about Paula was saying about the Holy Spirit transforming all of our insanity. Yeah, and definitely, this is exactly how it works, by the process of forgiveness. Yeah, genuine forgiveness, because we look at all of this insanity that we have. The hell we made, yes, Jesus says, the hell we made. And in chapter, I remember where exactly, he says, forgive yourself your madness. Yeah, so that's what we do with the help of the Holy Spirit. We just forgive it, because we don't react to it. We don't revenge for it. We don't get upset from it. We just forgive it, because, yes, it was just an insane idea in my mind. And so and it's not true. It's just a dream, right? So I can easily forgive it, and go back home to sanity.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paula. Thank you, Paula, for your optimism and cheering up. Thank you very much.
Well, you certainly brought that out of me with what you were saying. I mean, really, the contrast is, wow.
Yeah, it's how we learn.
It's how we learn.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Corinne.
Yes, is that Angela?
Hi. Yes, this is Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Corinne. I appreciate everybody's here. And I am really, really struggling. So that's where I am. And I see what I'm choosing for, so that's where I am also. Got some serious family stuff going on and had to do some things that were really tough, and there's more decisions along the way, and I'm really, when it comes down to the guts of it, I can see that I'm not choosing for Holy Spirit. I'm in other times I'm going to say I'm not in the thick of it, and I'm remembering, okay, you know, the quick forgiveness prayer, and I'm using it then, or Holy Spirit help. But I am sitting on the call and I'm listening, and I'm really struggling to, you know, I don't know that I'm supposed to be doing anything. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. All I know is I'm scared. All it is I know, despite everything I've heard tonight, and I've heard a lot, but I feel scared and I feel sad and I feel mm-hmm. confused, and I know, be where you're at. So I see all these things. It just feels like at this particular moment, like I want something to shift, and it's not. And mm-hmm. so I appreciate you just letting me, you know, get that out there.
Oh, Angela, thank you for sharing. And you said so many important things with being where you're at. It's okay to feel scared and sad and confused. So I honor you and thank you for just being open and honest and allowing yourself to be where you're at. Do you want me to offer just an idea of what yeah. comes forward for me?
Sure.
What I said earlier, see if you can make a list, thinking about everything that you have going on. And we can do this in any situation. With what I have going on, what does my reaction show me about what I believe? So, and see if you can allow this to be really deep. Like, you know, this shows me that I believe I am, and I'm just throwing out, like, ideas. You know, it shows me that I believe that I am a sister. It shows me that I believe that I am a, you know, and that other person is a sister. Or we could come up with roles that we play. I believe I'm a daughter. I believe I'm a, ultimately, I believe I'm a body, right?
Right.
It's showing me that I believe that there is suffering, that others can suffer, that I can suffer, that conflict is real. And see if you can write down as many beliefs as you can based on whatever your reaction is. And slowly, one at a time, take the first thing on the list and read it and feel it. So, you know, let's say it's, I believe that I am Angela. I believe mm-hmm. I'm Corinne, whatever it is. And Holy Spirit, I'm owning that I have this belief in my mind, and I'm willing to look at it with you. And okay. taking your time to go through one at a time with looking at each one of those hidden beliefs with Spirit. Because what this is doing is owning what it is, you know, it's really owning the beliefs and separation that we have in our own mind, and we're not keeping them, we're offering them openly to Holy Spirit by looking at them with Spirit. So I don't know if that's helpful,
yeah,
if that's something you want to give, you know, a try.
Sure.
But the other thing that, and I'm not saying that you have to do this, this has just worked for me, is that when I've gone through really challenging times, that's when I like to get really hardcore with the Course, even though it can feel almost like I almost have a lot of resistance come up at the same time, but I'm just so determined. And thinking about that, somehow, I don't know how, but somehow this situation is coming from my sleeping split mind.
Mm-hmm.
This situation is somehow coming from this, you know, this collective sleeping mind, but I like making it personal because it makes me feel like I have more power to choose then. This situation is somehow coming from me. I don't know how. I don't have to figure out how, but again, I'm willing to look at this with Holy Spirit too, because what that is to me is just an admission that I'm the dreamer of this dream. It doesn't seem that way at all or feel that way at all, but it's like taking radical responsibility and giving that to Holy Spirit. So those are just some ideas that came forward for me because they're things that have worked for me. They might not work for you or for, you know, for others, but I felt prompted to share. So,
thank you very much. And just look at what does come up on both, you know, the first one of looking at it and the second one of looking at it. And whether even on the first one I have a question, if on the first one, you know, that whatever my beliefs are, if they're general or they're very specific, it doesn't matter. Put them down.
Exactly. Okay. Yep, it doesn't matter. It does not matter.
No, because otherwise, you know what, it would be like going back to the early lessons, and it would be like, okay, my thoughts don't mean anything, but I'm trying to exclude this thought. This means something, and so you're not supposed to exclude anything.
Right, but at the same time, we have to be careful that this doesn't go down that path of what Deidre was mentioning earlier of how we can get stuck in analysis. So the exercise, it's almost like give it a go and then don't worry about whether or not you got every belief, you know? Like it might be a helpful exercise, it might not. If it's getting where anybody feels like you're getting caught in analysis, then it's no longer useful because then it's you know, ego getting in there again. So it's just like, just be, you know, give it a go, see what happens. But if you notice that analysis track coming up, you can even just pause there and say, oh, there's analysis arising. I'm willing to look at that with Holy Spirit too. And then, you know, put down the pen and and move on. So,
thank you so much.
What is it? You know, the old "I need do nothing." It actually seems personally insulting.
It does, yeah.
Especially in chaos, you know.
Yep.
But really, it's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's simple as that. I need do nothing. But rest.
The Holy Spirit will do it and will undo it, and you will be delighted.
You need do nothing but rest in truth. And
right.
If that, again, what Deidre reminded me of that I said not too long ago was that you need do no thing apart from spirit. You need do no thing apart from spirit. So it's not saying don't get out of bed in the morning. it's, you know, I need do nothing is a statement. This is my blog that's actually coming out tomorrow, is that I need do nothing is a statement of recognition that truth is, that I need do nothing. I just need to not interfere. Like, I don't need to do anything to let love be itself. As we feel, though, that we got to do something throughout the day, do nothing, do no thing without spirit. Do it all with Holy Spirit.
You know, it's more about just turning off those thoughts that are causing you pain and you know, discomfort. It's like, I don't need to think these thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God wouldn't be thinking them, so I don't need to think them.
And I like thinking about that as, like, you know, God doesn't know pain. God doesn't know sickness. God doesn't know suffering. And so what I'm experiencing right now, although it feels freaking real, God doesn't know it. I know it can feel hard for some of us for, you know, maybe trying to stop thinking certain things. That's why turning to the Holy Spirit is so helpful, because, you know, those thoughts will fall away as we are ready to let them go.
Thank you very much. Very, very much.
You're so welcome. Oh, I love you all. I just looked at the time, so we're at the top of the hour. Our hour always goes by so fast. All right. Have a great week, everybody, and I will see you next weekend. Sparkly miracles to all of you.
You too.
To all of
you. Thank you. Love you all.
Wonderful week.
You.
Good night.
Bye, you guys.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Love you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.